FNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
Houston is all systems go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's talk some Astros baseball. Joining us, superstar broadcaster Jeff Blum. He is something special, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Blummer, what's up?
Not too much. How are we doing this morning?
Man, we're doing great. Not as good as you are. How is it there? It's got to be perfect every day, right?
I wish I could tell you, but I know that the first time I went through Florida, it was 85 and sunny, which is much better than it is in here in Houston. I'm actually off for spring break, and I won't be back on TV until the 19th and 20th.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I'm enjoying this weather here locally just like you are, man.
Yeah? Good. Well, you're probably up north in the Woodlands or something, and it's different weather up there. So yeah, we're in the Galleria.
You could have ice there.
I don't know what it's like way up there because we're close to the equator. All right, let's talk a little bit. Okay, so sent down Bukauskas and Whitley, sent down Tucker, not going to be part of it, but that wasn't expected. I don't think they're coming. If Whitley does come June 20-something, whatever that date is that you afterwards, you think he is going to be here at that time?
I would say it's a little bit heavier on the yes side than it is the no side, just because he put on such a good performance in spring training. And just a little note on, you know, these guys getting sent out when they do, a lot of it has to do with financial. They get meal money and things like that, so they send these guys down financially. It helps out the ball club. But also, I think that with as good as these guys are and as well as they performed in the minor leagues, as well as they performed in spring training, I think organizations actually like giving these guys a little bit of humble pie by sending them out of spring training early. And kind of it's stoking that fire of, yeah, you pitched well enough to be here, but we're going to send you down to the minor leagues and have you get a taste of that again. And so these guys are going to be back. It's just a matter of time. I'm with you. I think the Josh James incident with the right quad strain kind of fast-forwarded maybe that progress of Forrest Whitley. And what I like to see is that Forrest Whitley actually recognized, you know what, this might be an opportunity for me to make a statement. And he went out there and did. He was out of those Bukauskas, Corbin Martin, Forrest Whitley. I think Forrest Whitley really jumped to the forefront with the stuff that he has and the ability to get the swing and miss.
They're loaded. They're loaded with good young pitchers. It's been kind of a surprising to us. You know, what with McHugh going down, Josh James going down, you know, Keuchel is sitting out there. They let Charlie Morton go. You're in the last year with Verlander and Cole. Not saying that they can't come back, but you don't know. So this is the go-for-it year, Blummer. Do you feel like that the organization is saying this is the go-for-it year?
I don't think they've gotten to that point yet because of a lot of what you just said as far as depth is concerned. I'm not sure if they're on the, you know, on that, I don't want to call it a panic button, but that express button that says we have to go for it now because there is so much depth as far as pitching is concerned. Mm-hmm. But I also feel, and this might be a personal feeling, we're also kind of waiting to see how healthy these guys are. Altuve's kind of been on the shelf. I know there's a couple of weeks left, but they want to make sure he's right. Alex Bregman is getting back in form. Carlos Correa's probably had one of the more impressive springs just because of the health and the way his swing is reacting in the zone really turns me on. And they want to see how this lineup fills out with Michael Brantley in it. And I really feel right now that they feel if these guys are 100% healthy and that offense is out there clicking, they really don't need to make a major adjustment as far as rotation or bullpen or something like that. But I feel the same way you do as far as rotation. It is very good, but there's always that what if. You know, I feel that the Astros are going to win the American League West handily because all the other teams in the Western Division didn't get good, and the Astros are going to take that. But it's a matter of what they want to do past that, and I think that's kind of what they're evaluating right now is we're going to win the West. What's going to put us into the World Series mix again? And I think that's where your mind's at. I think that's where my mind is at because these guys are that good. They're going to win a ton of ball games. It's just, will they be able to get another ring?
I think one of the concerns that, we've had here, Jeff, is Jeff Blum joins us right now talking to some Astros, is that when you look at 3, 4, and 5 potentially, you could be asking your bullpen to pick up a lot of slack in consecutive games relative to what's expected from an inning standpoint of those pitchers in the rotation. Do you envision, how do you envision July versus opening day 3, 4, and 5? Do you think we'll see Whitley or Martin? Do you think we'll see one of these big young arms get their chance to jump into the 3, 4, 5 by sometime in July?
I do. And I, you know, a lot of it depends on, I think Colin McHugh is going to be fine. The lower back stiffness doesn't worry me as much as, you know, a muscular type thing. I think that he's veteran enough to go in there and get healthy and work through some of the situations he's in right now to elongate himself in that back end or that four spot in the rotation. Wade Miley's going to eat up innings, but I agree with you in the sense that, you know, at some point, if Josh James doesn't step up and extend himself and go deep in ball games, your bullpen is going to start to get taxed, and you're going to have to bring in some of these young arms. But I would expect that 4 and 5 spot in the rotation to kind of not be a revolving door, but I think it's going to be a lot of mix and match for A.J. Hinch, trying to figure out which guys he can elongate. And A.J. Hinch has even said it as far as position players and pitchers, he's going to ride that hot hand. So if he gets a guy in that 4-5 spot who's pitching well, giving him 5 strong innings, and he's able to use the bullpen in the back end of that rotation, if you know what I mean, that he knows he can take a break 1 through 3, because Miley, when he's going well, is going to get deep in ball games, and you can already count on your 1-2 starters in Cole and Verlander to go 6-7 strong in each ball game. So that's going to give your bullpen a little bit of rest, but I agree with you in the sense the back end of that rotation is going to leave a lot of managerial pressure for A.J. Hinch trying to figure out how to get through some of those games. But again, I feel that they're really relying on the offense to put up big numbers so that they don't have to rely on the bullpen or that starting rotation all that much in the back end of that rotation.
Jeff Blum with us on ESPN 97.5. Do you agree with does Alex Bregman have a point after what they did for Carlos Correa last year? Do you listen, this is the game, this is the business, but, you know, you did that for that guy. How about doing it for me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to side on the side of the player. It's tough to be an organization and run things the way you feel is appropriate, but no matter what you do, especially in those first 3 years before a guy gets to arbitration, you're going to piss somebody off. I don't think that they pissed Alex Bregman off enough to where they shun him from future contracts. I think that Alex Bregman is a guy who is brash. He is appropriately arrogant, and he's good. He backs up a lot of what he goes out there and does. So I actually kind of enjoy the fact that he's a little ticked off, and maybe that's extra fuel that this guy already has to go out there and perform. But I've got no problem with him coming out and saying it. I don't think the Astros do either. They understand that this process is built the way it is. We know that the CBA is coming up here in the next couple of years, and this may be something that they address later on, because the game is getting much younger and the earning window for these guys is much earlier than it was when I was playing the game. So I understand that these guys are kind of positioning themselves with some of these quotes and some of these emotions to set up that CBA coming up. But I've got no problem with Alex going out there, and I truly believe that the Astros feel the same way. They're each doing their job. Alex is playing the game as a player, and the Astros are playing the game as an organization. It's just how it works in the current system that we have.
It's funny because there's a lot of talk about how, so to cross over to another sport for a second, people are looking at Le'Veon Bell's contract that he earned and saying, mm-hmm. Boy, this is money that's relative to this NBA player or that NBA player. We know that that's irrelevant. You're in different sports, you're different pay systems. But I'm wondering if a guy like Alex Bregman and these young baseball players who also follow other sports, if they look at their structure and how they're set up, even though it's guaranteed money on the back end when you finally get there to the real contract, I wonder if they look at this collectively bargained situation that's been in place forever and say, man, we're tired of this. We're watching other young guys get paid early on. And just to speak to what you just spoke about, the earlier, you know, earning window, and say, we want something different because we want to get our money early like these other guys in other sports.
No, I think that's definitely where it's trending. We see with the free agent market, you know, I think a really good example is a guy like Adam Jones, who, you know, 10 years ago, Adam Jones would have had himself a 5-year deal immediately just because of his track record And the game, you know, and like you're saying, all these sports are shifting from your, you know, getting a current contract for what you did previously. Now I believe that with all the analytics and the way they're able to project and assume what you're going to do in your career based on what you've already done is what's changing some of these contracts and why younger guys are getting paid the way they are earlier. And I think that the way the players might have the ability to go out there and offset some of these analytics is to go out there and alter the free agency, alter the, you know, the time spent pre-arbitration and speed up the free agency rules, because these guys are getting younger, because the analytics tell you that the younger player is a better player and has a, you know, if you start that player earlier, his winning potential or his statistical potential is in that 25 to 32 range. So, and if you're going to counter, if you're going to offset that as a player, you want to get paid earlier because you're getting to the big leagues earlier. And that's how most teams are going now, is you're paying for future potential statistical performance as opposed to what you did previously.
I do want to mention something I really like about you on the broadcast and Matt Bullard on the Rockets broadcast, is that you have really embraced, and Julia for that matter too, I think she's excellent at doing it, bringing in analytics and digestible analytics to the to the watcher, the viewer, because, you know, sabermetrics can be the war and the VORP, but when you start talking about digestible things for the watcher, the viewer, right, to dig into, I think you've done a great job of bringing that into our living rooms through television.
I don't know where you get it, Plummer, but you know the speed of the ball coming, and you immediately
exit velo is amazing.
Yes, all of this stuff that you're able to get at your fingertips, is there a website that we can get this stuff to?
Yeah, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, as a player, I was skeptical of it.
Right.
But now that I'm out of the game and I'm on the media side, my job is to inform the fan of what's going on in the field. I can give opinion and experience just having been on the field, but now that the analytics are part of the game, it wouldn't do me any good to not understand what's going on analytically and try and apply that, but help the common fan understand why those analytics are important, because I've turned into a fan too. I love the game, and I want to promote the game, and I want to promote the Astros and encourage people to understand why these guys are in our clubhouse and on our field consistently. And so we have to understand it. And luckily I have resources both on the internet, both through the organization and just through friendships that I've made, you know, as far as on-field management, and also guys who crunch the numbers. I've reached out and asked thankfully the right questions and gotten some good answers. But one website that I go to consistently is baseballsavant.com. And Darren Willman, who's actually a local here in Houston.
Yeah,
dude. He is a valuable resource as far as email is concerned for me, but also his website brings a lot of that data and information pretty quickly to me. So that's how I get my hands on it. But also Major League Baseball with Darren Willman does a very good job of StatCast. It's a proprietary thing that we actually have private access to during the game, that I get a lot of stuff. But
can you send that to me then?
Don't give him your password.
Yeah, give me.
I was going to say, we could blow up the server right now if I give away all those passwords.
No, just to me. I just want just text me the password.
No, but it is amazing that the technology that's in stadium, it produces instant access, and Zebra is trying to do the same thing. Well, they do it for next gen for football, basketball, and Second Spectrum has it. So baseball has been at the forefront early on. And Darren Willman, you know, I had Darren Willman doing stuff for my old football website back in 2013 with another guy named Tyler Oberle. Tyler's a director of analytics now for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Darren Willman is like, you know, big with the statistics and the different analytics with Major League Baseball. And I'm stuck here with you still, Granato.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame. Look at me. That's bad for you. All right, a simpler question. DH, Jeff Blum with us on ESPN 97.5. Do you foresee if Tyler White struggles, or even if, you know, whatever, that Mariznick plays left, Brantley will DH, or he plays center, and Springer plays right, and Reddick will DH, or Tony Kemp will DH, or how do you see DH going?
It's interesting. I think you pretty much nailed it right there, because I think it's going to be one of those fluid situations for at least the first half, and I'm not sure if, you know, if there's going to be a bat available around that trade deadline, or if the Astros even feel they needed a bat. But I think A.J. Hinch is a guy who is going to play, a guy who is swinging a hot hand, but he also knows matchups pretty well. Again, we talked about the analytics, and there's so much information out there that tells A.J. which lineup is going to probably produce the most runs, and I think that's how he's going to manipulate the lineup. I agree with you in the sense that Jake Mariznick is going to be on the team. Tony Kemp's going to be on the team. Tyler White's going to be your initial DH. You know, how does he mix Yuli Gurriel in there? Is there somebody else that can go over to first base and give Yuli a little bit of a break as far as his legs are concerned and give him some DH days? But I really believe that it's going to be a Michael Brantley, Tyler White-type, platoon-type situation. And if the matchup dictates, you can move, you know, Jake Mariznick to center and do the Cupid shuffle with Springer going to right and Josh Reddick going to left. So there's ways to manipulate that, but I really believe, like you said, with those names that you brought up, it's going to be a fluid situation for A.J. Hinch, and just finding the guy that's swinging the bat well at the time, or finding a matchup that really, you know, is conducive to scoring a lot of runs.
And then finally, quickly, Aledmys Díaz. How do you say he's not? Marwin is something special. Is Aledmys Díaz?
No one can replace Marwin.
No. I mean, and everybody said, well, that's Marwin's replacement. Is he? I don't know. How do you see them using him?
I'm curious myself, just watching some of the box scores and seeing how they move him around. I think they're kind of giving him a pass as far as offense is concerned. But think about Aledmys Díaz, too. He's, like you just said, you can't replace Marwin. I don't think it's good for a guy like Aledmys Díaz to go in there and say, hey, I'm going to replace this guy. I think Aledmys Díaz needs to understand that the Astros are very good when they pitch well and play good defense. And I think that's the priority right now for Aledmys Díaz, is to be a very good utility infielder and be an average outfielder is his priority right now. And the battle come. He's got some sneaky pop, but again, I don't think on this roster, and maybe the reason why Marwin wasn't brought back completely is because Alex Bregman, when healthy, is an MVP candidate. Carlos Correa, MVP candidate when he's healthy. Altuve is going to play you 150 to 160 games. Yuli Gurriel at first base is going to play you a ton of games. So that really didn't leave many at-bats for Marwin Gonzalez in Houston. That might be why he left, and also why Aledmys Díaz is here, because they're not going to rely on Aledmys as much as they did on Marwin, because they're counting on the health of these guys going out there and playing every day.
Yeah, he was your starting left fielder at the end, and now you got Brantley. So,
yeah, good point.
There you have it. All right. Hey, Jeff Blum, man, awesome. We appreciate it. Have fun up there in the Woodlands or wherever you live, whatever. Thanks for joining us, and we're really looking forward to this season. Hope you can join us again and talk some baseball.
No, I'd love to. It's always good being on with you guys. If you need any more information, remember to catch up on that podcast, Bleacher Blum, man.
Bleacher Blum.
Yep.
Bleacher Blum.
Dude, you've turned into quite, you know, I remember Berkman used to always speak so highly of you, and how he's like, dude, he's one of the funniest ones on the whole team.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, obviously, with you being more at the forefront with the broadcast. And
except Berkman would go, yeah, but he's got blue hair. That's the problem.
What is that?
Maybe that's what he was laughing at.
Blummer, thanks, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
We appreciate it. Jeff Blum right here on ESPN 97.5. So one of the